He is Jeff Passan. He's an MLB insider for ESPN. Read him at ESPN.com. He's all over ESPN television, and he joins us now. Jeff, how you doing, man? Appreciate the time.
I'm excellent, fellas. How are you?
Doing well,
pleasure to
man.
Have you.
Obviously, the question of the day, I think we're all wondering, at this point, is your expectation that the Cardinals will ever play a baseball game again until the end of time?
I would like to believe that sometime, maybe in 2035, when life gets back to normal, the Cardinals will. No, I think they've gone a couple of days now with no positive COVID-19 tests. So I think the plan right now is for them to be back on Friday. Now, is that actually going to happen? We thought the Cardinals were going to be back last Friday, too. So I'm not going to say I think all of us have learned that predicting the future is a fool's errand, but at this point, if you were to ask me if I think the Cardinals will be back Friday, I would say yes.
Is there a chance, Jeff, that the major outbreak and the severity of the outbreak, certainly the Marlins and the Cardinals and just the bat optics of it, and it felt like maybe the league was in limbo and very wobbly there for a couple of days. Is it possible, though, that these outbreaks have almost had reverse implication in the sense that they serve as cautionary tales for the rest of Major League Baseball, where if other teams were feeling a little lax and they were maybe going out on the town and not wearing masks, that maybe it was, I mean, obviously wake-up call probably is too light of a phrase, but is there a chance that maybe it just reinforced how serious this is if they wish to complete a season?
I mean, theoretically, that sounds great, and that sounds absolutely right, and that's how it should be, but as we saw with the Cleveland Indians and Mike Clevenger and Zach Plesac, while that sounds all well and good, it may not be reality. Everyone at this point knows how important it is to follow the protocols, and they still didn't. So hopefully, and I'm hoping as a person who loves baseball and who loves getting to cover baseball games, players do abide by it, but my level of trust, I wouldn't say, is particularly high.
What's it look like for the Cardinals, Jeff? You talked about it feeling like they're going to get back to it here. They've played five, I think some, I try to count it up, have played as many as 19 games already. What's that look? Is there any way they get to 60 still?
No, they're not getting to 60.
Okay.
And that's a big question for Rob Manfred. You know, what is the threshold where the Cardinals have to play to be eligible for the postseason?
Mm-hmm.
I've talked with players in the National League who have said it's unfair. If they play fewer games than us, that's because of actions that they had, whether it was the initial person contracting COVID-19 or the spread throughout the clubhouse. It happened to them, and it was because they were lax. So why should we be penalized because of that? On the other hand, the Cardinals, rightfully and understandably, can say this is a global pandemic that's infected, millions of people, and we don't know how to stop it. Why would we be held to a higher standard? Is that really a fair thing to do? So I do not envy in any way Rob Manfred and the decision he has to make on the Cardinals at this point. And I think they're going to delay it as long as they can to see what the Cardinals season actually does look like and whether they are one of the playoff contenders.
You mentioned Cleveland, their situation, please, Zach Clevenger. Where do you begin to fix that? And not to John's point, but I wonder with this story, with the way their teammates have even sort of reacted to what they did, their dishonesty with them, are they going to be able to get the trust back? I mean, at that point, do you think those guys are truly all in? I mean, sure, we see the, sort of the apology, but is it real, Jeff? And here's the question. Personally, were you surprised that attitude still I guess surprise isn't the word, but that attitude so staunchly still existed at this point, knowing that everything's on the line?
Nothing surprises me
the
anymore.
Lies.
And getting trust back is going to be not a multi-day or multi-week or multi-month, but a multi-year process. I mean, they did something that not just endangered themselves and others, but the team and really the sport. And that is an enormous breach of trust. But Mike Clevenger and Zach Plesac are two big parts of a team that has World Series aspirations.
Right.
I grew up in Cleveland, and knowing that they've gone 70 plus years now without a championship, like, you know, this is a team that, yep, because of how good its pitching staff is and how good Clevinger and Plesac are, has a real chance to win this year. So I think that they are going to ultimately be welcomed back to the team, but there will be skepticism and very warranted skepticism.
We are, of course, talking to Jeff Passan, MLB insider for ESPN. We saw the news yesterday, a couple of days ago, about Major League Baseball having preliminary talks about a bubble type of format for the playoffs. I mean, I think if there's anything that we've learned in this country in 2020, it's that sports can happen, but it probably needs to happen within a bubble. Those talks, are they in and of themselves an indictment of the approach to try to do this without a bubble in the regular season?
Yeah, I think pulling off a bubble is going to be difficult for baseball because you would have to convince players to stay away from their families for months at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, months is a really long time. I think on the other hand, if you tell them you got to stay away for a month while we get this postseason done, and you know, there's a $50 million pool for teams and players that are in the postseason, suddenly that changes things, and that's a much less daunting thing both to plan as well to pull off if you're the players. So to me, it makes all the sense in the world that they're going to try and do it that way, and I think it's a necessity, honestly, for the integrity of the postseason. Give yourself as best a chance as possible to actually make it work.
How many cities would it take, Jeff? Can you do it in one? Can you do it in Los Angeles? Is the better idea to Chicago, New York, spread it out? What do you do it over three? What do you think? What's the best way?
You know, the problem is when you expanded the playoffs to 16 teams, that made one city almost impossible.
Oh, you're right.
I think the best thing that they could do is start in New York and L.A. And you have eight teams in New York, two games a day at Citi Field and Yankee Stadium, two games a day at Dodger Stadium and Angel Stadium. You get those done in 3 days, and then you ship everyone out to Los Angeles. And when everyone's in Los Angeles, you can really have a bubble that has some sanctity to it.
I got to ask you this one. I told John I'd do it before we got you. Every time you do a hit on SportsCenter, I'm drawn. After I see you, I'm drawn to the Nintendo that's behind you. There are four, it looks like, games on top of the original Nintendo. What are they, Jeff? We must know. The public must know.
That is a great question, and probably one I'm asked more than any. The four games are Super Mario Brothers, the original, RBI Baseball, RC Pro-Am, and Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Very nicely done. Very nicely done. And then Universal DH. Is this something we're sticking with or not?
There will never be a pitcher again who hits in the National League unless he is some sort of a freak. Yeah, it's there and it's there to stay. That is a Pandora's box that is not being closed.
Yep.
Amen to that.
Hey, Jeff, man, great stuff as always. We appreciate you carving out a few minutes for us, man. Thank you.
My pleasure, fellas. Have a good one.
Yep. You too. He is Jeff Passan, covers Major League Baseball for ESPN. Those are pretty classic games for the Nintendo. I mean, how can you go wrong? Super Mario Brothers. Mike Tyson's Punch Out, RBI Baseball. I mean, those are
pretty much all ubiquitous, you need, quite
right?
Frankly.
Right. I mean, what great games for that generation of children coming up. I mean, that's crazy to have those games that long ago that are still honestly, those hold up today.
I regret to say it. It pains me to say it, but I never beat Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Really?
Get to the end.
Did you just give up?
Yeah. Well, you had to, when he came, you had to be, you know, really quick with the side to side when he was, and I never beat it. All my friends did. Just one of those life missions, man. You never accomplished.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think a lot of people in your house.
Mario Brothers should have passed that meantime.
A lot of people in your house were wondering, man, where were your
balls?
Yeah. And because you just gave up, and that wasn't a very Smith or Les Smith thing to do. Let's be honest about it.
I was impressed by your level of quit. Let's be real here. Impressed by your
Stop,
level of
man.
Question. It was really, you pump faked us.
Stop.
You started out. You
I asked two
low
questions.
Expectations. I see what you, here's your, you start us out, I'm going to ask what MLB stands for. You start, so we got low expectations.
That's right.
And then you come to start talking about sanctities of bubbles and everything else.
Under like promise, high level. Over deliver.
I think I actually had the worst question by the sound of his reaction about the Nintendo thing because he gets it all the time.
Balls.
I thought I was going to be an OG on that one.
Yeah, no, you were not very original.
He gets
original.
It all the time.
Yeah, that's okay, though. I mean, it's hard to be original in 2020.